Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Sober Shaman Podcast. Today will be a solo cast, and I'll be going over a few different, very common areas where we get stuck, and what kind of shamanic, spiritual, practical tools can we apply to get unstuck and get to the next level. All right, so I'm going to use some real-world examples from clients that, of course, anonymity and generalizations are applied here. All right, the first thing is this idea of waiting for the lightning bolt. What I mean by that is I've had more than two people who have found themselves stuck and are aware of where they're at on the cycle of addiction, yet still find themselves going around and around despite this awareness, despite whatever I'm doing, man, I don't know what it, and just waiting for that lightning bolt to make everything clear so that everything changes. And of course, the waiting, right, the waiting for the lightning bolt applies to so many different ideas. Okay, there's a problem with waiting. It implies that you're not doing the next right thing, maybe what you know you should be doing. So, of course, then I have people who say, Randy, you know, I've been doing the next right thing, and still, yeah. Let me give you two examples. So, in this first person, they have been going around and around and around and find themselves going up. I can do it this time, filled with hope and excitement and inspiration and a new plan, and then something peaks and or something happens and somewhere, somehow, in some mysterious way, they're back bottomed out at the same place. And when we turn around and look, it's like, oh yeah, okay, well, I can see where I didn't do the next right thing, but still, I'm waiting for that lightning bolt to make it clear. I get that. It's like, I didn't see how it just went right past me. No matter what we do, no matter what we talk about, no matter what kinds of awarenesses are being implemented, that waiting to make it really clear that, okay, I should really do the next right thing instead of not choosing to do the right thing. In the second example, there's a person who was even, in my opinion, more stuck than the first person in waiting for this lightning bolt. And they had gone around the cycle more than once themselves. And this time around, very slowly, deliberately, we, despite objection and oftentimes implemented against will, let's just put it that way, where there were restrictions put into place by the authorities that be. What it doesn't really, you fill in whatever you have going on, it's the same thing. It's like, well, I can't do it because, oh, really? Well, what if you have to do it? Ah, geez, okay, I guess I have to do it. So, because these guidelines, this structure was put into place, and he and I were still working together regularly, applying awareness with this structure, we are able to look over our shoulders and see how far we've come since the last verbal complaint of, when's the lightning bolt going to hit? And now, these weeks later, of doing the next right thing, putting one foot in front of the other, chopping wood, carrying water, just doing it. We turn around and go, holy moly, will you look at that? Where was the lightning bolt? Because now I'm on the other side of the river. I've crossed the bridge. I've been waiting for that lightning bolt, and by putting one foot in front of the other and having my head down, I missed the bolt. Oh well, I'm going to keep going one foot in front of the other because this seems to be working, and I'm done waiting. I'm not waiting. I'm doing. Huh. By just doing, I didn't need a lightning bolt. Bizarre. And that is the new experience that replaces the old belief. Oftentimes, we believe that in order to change our old belief, our old limiting core belief of I'm not enough, I need something right here and now, blah, 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 I need that lightning bolt of an experience to change my perspective. And oftentimes that is the case, whether it comes in the form of a medical report, a legal requirement, a ultimatum from family, friends, spouses, jobs, boom. Oftentimes the lightning bolt is clear. And oftentimes we can spend our time waiting for the same benefits that we hear about other people who've received lightning bolts. You know, I wrote about Charlie Sheen a couple of weeks back in my newsletter because he's making the rounds on the podcast and interview talk circuits. And, you know, as we all remember and know from Charlie's story, it doesn't really get more infamous than that with winning in Tiger's Blood and the whole nine yards. He was out there on the world's public display. Maybe one of the first ones with the advent and explosion of the internet and real life being played out in real time right before our eyes. And so my point is, how many lightning bolts can one person have between legal, medical, obvious, law enforcement? You fill in the blanks of how many times this guy should have and was hit by lightning, the lightning bolts. And yet, the thing that flipped the switch for him was a drive. He was driving home because he had drunk in the morning. And again, he was just drinking, wasn't even really using drugs. So there was a part of him that was already on the way out. But he was still drinking. And his teenage daughter had said to him one morning, oh, Pops, I need a ride. And he's like, ah, damn. And the one thing he says he absolutely would not do is drive drunk. So he got his friend to drive him. So they drove out, dropped her off, and then he says on the way back, what flipped his switch was just catching a glimpse of his daughter in the passenger side, because he wasn't even driving. He didn't even have the rear view mirror. Catching a glimpse of his daughter in that passenger side mirror while she was sitting in the back seat. And he felt the weight of her disappointment. Boom. That was the thing that did it for him. Oftentimes, We've been hit by plenty of lightning bolts, and we don't get it. And we're waiting for the next one, which, right, could come in the form of breaking out in handcuffs and or hospitalization. Don't wait. Don't wait for the lightning bolt. Put one foot in front of the other, do the next right thing, and then, at some point, we can look over our shoulders and go, will you look at that? I'm across the river. I'm on the other side. I did it without a lightning bolt. Huh. Maybe you can take inventory and go, you know what? There was the moment. It was a conversation. It was listening to a podcast. It was a comment that I overheard from a different conversation. I heard somebody say this once. Or they just, that's it. Waiting for the lightning bolt. And so those two examples, that first example, who still remains in waiting mode, is also aware of the choice of not choosing the next right thing. There's no wondering involved. But that awareness doesn't provide enough pain. And is, well, you know what? I'll catch it next time around because there'll be a lightning bolt that'll really do it for me. Heartbreaking. But this is what we're up against with the addiction, right? All right, part two here. The flipping of that switch, the opening of possibility, I heard in the form of this statement. The statement of, they went from it's impossible to it's very difficult. And even hearing myself say that right now, yes, that sounds logical and obvious, but the weight of their very difficultness is embedded in a very real story of difficulty, lifelong difficulty. Yet still, this statement, which I jumped on, wait a minute, you just went from it's impossible to it's very difficult. Now, it took a long time to get there and a lot of effort, but we did. And so that is a crack in the belief structure. It's a crack in the story. It's a crack in the spell where the light of truth and clarity can shine in, even if it's only for this moment. This moment of, wait a minute, it is not impossible. That's been one of the pieces of cement that has closed the cycle in so it can perpetuate and repeat. If you switch from impossible to very difficult, you've just provided yourself an off ramp. You've just provided yourself a way out. That doesn't mean you won't miss the ramp once or twice in the future. But if you take that ramp just once, you've given yourself the experience that changes from impossible to very difficult. Now, you can judge whatever comes after that, getting the off ramp. You can judge that as, well, this is impossible. See, Randy, I told you. Let's get back on that cycle because it's impossible. It could be judged that way when meeting challenges and resistances and failing. And it could be, Well, there's that voice again. It wants me to... Let's say I find myself back on the cycle because I believed it. And I go, wait a minute. Okay. I take responsibility for this. I'm back in the cycle. I'm back in the loop. That was the off-ramp. It's not impossible. I got off once. And you know what? It was very difficult. I judged that very difficult as impossible. It's a new day. Here I am. I've got new experiences. I have the experience of getting off once. I can use that experience to get off again because it's not impossible to get off. I did it. It's going to be very difficult when I get off. Maybe, probably. There's a lot of steps to be taken. But if I don't do it again, I will never know all of the manner of unforeseen help that is waiting for me. Right? That Goethe quote. All manner of unforeseen assistance will come my way once the decision has been made and I commit myself 100% to it. I'm taking the damn off ramp and it is going to be difficult. Here I go. What do we do with that experience? That experience that challenges the belief. And if we follow it and we do like that client, that was waiting for the lightning bolt, but just keeps putting one foot in front of the other, doing the next right thing. Sure, they had a little bit of help with structure imposed upon them, but they were able to turn around and go, oh, will you look at that? No lightning bolt necessary. It was not impossible. I made it to the other side. Part three. This is why I love these shamanic exercises, because they provide an experience that can change our belief. It provides an experience that inherent within the exercise is built in a change of perspective. When we undertake a shamanic journey, when we undertake the shamanic rites, our perspective changes. And for us undertaking it from a spiritual perspective, we are entering into the spiritual realm and going into non-ordinary reality, to use that term. We are doing it. We are going there. If, again, you do not wish to use the spiritual perspective, and as I would present this in addiction treatment centers, call it imaginal. Yes, there's pros. Yes, there's cons. For me, there's more cons than pros, which is why I use the spiritual approach. But still, even if you're using just, quote unquote, your imagination, it still changes your perspective. And here's another sober shaman quote. When you change your perception of medicine, the medicine of perception changes you. So when you go into these journeys, when you perform these shamanic rites, you are writing from a different perception. This perception could be medicine. When you change your perception of medicine, the medicine of perception can change you. That's why I love this. And these are exercises that are designed specifically for this purpose, which is why I love it. To break through these places of stagnation, these places of stuckness. So this is also one of the reasons why I apply these exercises for people who are using traditional Chinese medicine, because the disease, the malady of stagnation with a capital S, we capitalize that S because it is, in many traditions, often talked about as the root of 10,000 diseases. Stagnation causes all kinds of problems in our mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical bodies. No two ways about it. So any medicine we can get to move through the stagnation, boom, it becomes synergistic. So when we use the spiritual medicines of the journey, of the shamanic rites, it is going to work synergistically with whatever mental approaches we're using, whatever emotional approaches we are using, and then incorporate that all into your physical practice. Yes, synergy. Get the medicines working together. All right, part four of this, tying them kind of all together, let's see how it goes, is one of the perceptions that I love changing and that we benefit from so much, especially when we are stuck waiting for a lightning bolt or looking for a crack into the story that keeps us believing it's impossible, is the idea of time, is our perception of time. So here in the West, we fall into the belief, trap, idea that time is always linear. We make this assumption because we are operating on a day-to-day basis on linear time. We have the past, it is the present, and we're moving into the future, and we have a little clock ticking that can keep track of this. That's great, and it's logical, and it makes sense to the mind and the head. Linear time is not as effective to the heart, is not as effective to seasons, to cycles, to patterns, to habits, to addictions. Both of these perceptions of time are true at the same time. I'm not saying linear time is bad or wrong. It's just a trap when we only see time from that perspective and we do not take into account all of the awareness, power, and medicine we can get by introducing, respecting, and realizing that time is also cyclical. Now, of course, you know, we have calendars and their seasons, and in many places of the world right now, people tell me of my favorite season, fall, the autumn is just starting to come in. Beautiful. Can't argue with that. Amazing. Here in Thailand, that just kind of means it's going to stop raining so much for about another month when we enter the dry season. But cycles, they're dependable. They're predictable. So, when we know that we're in the cycle, when we can acknowledge exactly where we are in the cycle, we can then take 100% responsibility of how am I perpetuating this cycle and what can I use to leverage it and break it. And that's the beauty of this whole system along the path of the Sober Shaman, where we just go through each phase, each element, and we leverage all kinds of ways to break it. The problem is the linear trap. And one of the things of the linear trap, the idea of linear time, one of the great spells of linear time is the hope of the future. And this goes directly back to that waiting for the lightning bolt. And so one of the phrases I like to say that sums up this lie is the familiar one of when I, then I'll. When I, then I. And generally it's when I do this or have that, then I'll be happy, be content. So when I do or have, then I'll be. Do you see the linearness in that? And why it's a spell is because the thing is always in the future. So it keeps us searching. It keeps us pulling in and talking about my premise, right? Stop searching, start trusting. This is the spell that premise breaks. Stop searching. Start trusting. Stop looking out there. When I, then I'll be happy. Part of that spell. When I get hit with the lightning bolt, then I'll really get this whole addiction sobriety thing down, and then I'll get it. So this perception of time, this linear trap, this spell that keeps us searching, waiting for the lightning bolt, is always out there, is always in the future, is always filled with that hope that keeps us hooked. And this is where, when we apply words like resolution, this is when I don't like that word. It'll be resolved. When we have only this perception of time, because it feeds into the idea of resolution, feeds into this idea of, oh, when I achieve resolution, then I could stop going to therapy. However you want to fill that in. Whenever I get that form of medicine, then I'll be better. So this is, again, why I love implementing a shamanic journey. This is why I love implementing the shamanic rites exercise. Because when we are stuck, and I say we, fully aware that I am not above this. I got plenty of if I's, then I'll's that are in my beliefs that I may not even be aware of how much they're just living on my shoulder and in the back of my head, and I don't even see them or know about them. But this is the beauty. Because when we change our perception, we change everything. When we change our perception of medicine, the medicine of perception changes us. So when we go into a journey carrying a particular belief, whether it is conscious or subconscious, and we are examining a symbolic, archetypal powerhouse of a subject. I'm going into the lake of fear. When we do something like that, we go down into that lake and come back with knowledge, information, and healing power that applies directly to where I am right now, experiencing whatever stuckness, whatever problem is directly in front of me. that wraps up this episode of the Sober Shaman Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Please hit the little like button wherever you find this. Subscribe wherever you get it. And if you have any experiences about waiting for your lightning bolt, how they came to you or never came to you, yet you've found yourself on the other side, or flipped that switch from impossible to very difficult, or how subtle maybe the experience was, like Charlie Sheen gave that example. Lightning bolts need not apply. It was just the weight of a moment of experience. If you've got any of those, I love hearing them. Please share that with me. spirit@randalllyons.com. That's spirit, S-P-I-R-I-T, at Randall Lyons, R-A-N-D-A-L, Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S.com. You can also go to the website, catch all of the information there, get your free access to the guide, to the shamanic journey, the library of resources. Till next time, blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.